You know, I own no bling.
None.
Whatsoever. Do you?
No bling. Do you have a wedding ring?
Yeah, but it's cheap. It's just a platinum wedding ring. I could probably replace it for, you know, $500.
Yeah, beyond an Apple Watch, I don't have anything.
Now, Morales I could see with bling, with ice. You have
Morales probably has ice.
Morales probably has a gold chain on right now.
He always has his shirt buttoned down to way too far.
Well, that's, you know, that's his thing.
That's his thing. That's his style. Exactly.
Right.
Funch, do you have any ice?
No ice.
Does anybody on this show, anyone male, have a pierced ear?
No.
Does Keyshawn?
I do wear a gold necklace, but not like a big medallion with
it. Funch, does anyone at the station have a pierced ear?
Keyshawn, maybe? No?
I have pierced ears.
Yeah, but girls get them when they're young.
Bergman? Does Bergman have pierced ears?
I don't think Kirk Morrison does. Does Kirk Morrison has one?
I think Sliwa has both ears.
NFL player? Like, you know, I feel like he would roll like that.
Sliwa has both ears.
Both ears for Sliwa. But he's rocking cubic zirconium, so
he's
it's a little different. Yeah.
He is all in. Hey, it is only 4 days away from LAFC versus Houston. It's 10 days away from Dodgers and their first exhibition game against Arizona at Dodgers Stadium. 2 weeks from today, Dodgers opening day versus the Giants at Dodgers Stadium. And the NBA is back, Lakers versus Clippers, 3 weeks from today. Does that make sense? 3 weeks from today?
Right, and that's if everything goes on time. Now, what has started to happen today is a lot of people have started to suggest that things won't go on time. The Notre Dame athletic director says he'd be surprised if college football starts on time. Do you see the entire Ivy League said we're moving all of our fall sports to the spring? So a lot of people are being proactive now in regard. You see J.J. Watt came out and said he won't play if he has to wear a face covering.
Yes. This is... breaking, Big Ten decides that a conference-only season for all fall sports, including football, is the most likely outcome, a source with knowledge of the discussions told Heather Dinich.
And
they're planning on conference-only.
The Athletic is reporting that the Pac-12 will follow that lead. So the
Pac-12 talked to Larry Scott last week when you weren't here, and Larry, we talked specifically about the concept of moving football to spring. And that was a real thing, a definite consideration. This is teleconference with reporters. Ohio State Athletic Director Gene Smith says he's no longer cautiously optimistic about a football season being held this fall. He says, I'm very concerned. So he's gone from cautiously optimistic to very concerned.
Now, let me ask some. Do you think we could live in a world, because I don't think the SEC is backing down. I don't think Alabama, LSU... Could we end up with a finished product of the only college football we get is in the South?
Yeah, God.
That'd be weird, huh?
It is weird. How many positive tests did they have at Clemson? I know it's ACC, but at Clemson it was like 30-something.
37.
Positive tests. 37 tested positive for coronavirus in 3 weeks. Yeah. You know, that part of the country, is the South is now getting hit. I mean, the South had it sort of easy for a while there, and it didn't seem like they had a lot of cases.
Do they care?
Do they care if kids start getting sick?
No, do they care about their COVID numbers? Florida is, you know, they've never really slowed down. I know Georgia has been, it's kind of been a political factor. LSU had 20-plus positive tests the very first day they tested football players. So I think the South is, for lack of a better term, more likely to look the other way.
Because Florida is now the epicenter for COVID. They had 120 deaths yesterday, 400 cases. I mean, they're getting worse by the day.
But having said that, wouldn't you be shocked if they issued a shelter-at-home order in Florida? They just have never done it. Republican governor who kind of goes lockstep with the president.
Did they never have a shelter-at-home in Florida?
Not that I remember. I think the biggest...
I think they did for a couple days. It was like a week, maybe.
I think the biggest thing they've done is tell people to wear a mask, which at first they did not do.
Yeah, now it's mandated that you have to wear a mask.
I think they had a shelter at home just in like southern Florida. It wasn't a statewide thing. It was done by county or city.
Yeah, I think it was left to local authorities, exactly, because I know that Miami and Dade County, it's mandatory to wear a mask. And the NBA bubble is in Orange County, right? Orlando is in Orange County, Florida.
Correct. And that's not as bad as some of the other parts
not
of Florida.
Not as bad as Miami-Dade, yeah.
And keep in mind that they're in a secured area. So it may, in terms of Florida, you may be safer inside that Disney campus than anywhere else in the state.
Although, didn't another MLS team drop out?
Just one so far, right? The female team, the Orlando team, that all went to the same bar. Dallas had five.
Nashville became the second team to pull out of the MLS tournament after 9 players tested positive.
There you go.
So their bubble is struggling.
Can we get 2020 over with? Can we just fast track it and
it's
start
unreal.
2020?
It really is unreal. You know, I talked to my mom today. It seems surreal that this is still going on. And I thought we got through it, and now we're not through it. But you know what I'm focused on, John? I'm focused on games. Like, I watched last night's Dodger intra-squad game.
Is it true they used one of the clubhouse guys?
I was in and out of it, so I can't tell you the answer to that.
Yeah, I think they used one of the clubhouse guys who like used to be a baseball player and put him.
Because there are still some guys that haven't shown up at camp yet. But I mean, we're 4 days away from LAFC. They're going to play. Dodgers 2 weeks away from opening day. They're going to play. I mean, I think Buster Olney's right. I think they are without question. They're going to start. I think they're starting. They may or may not finish. None of it may finish, for all we know. None of it may. But I tell you, I'm going to enjoy it while it's going on.
Because you don't know when they're going to take it away.
Exactly. So, did you hear what Joel Embiid said and then Kendrick Perkins' reaction?
No, neither.
Okay, we'll get both of those things coming up next for you. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN. Night 710 ESPN, Mason in Ireland. What's going on? It is Thursday, and we are getting ready for sports. It's coming. It's around the corner. It's on the way, and I know there'll be some, maybe not. There's problems here. There'll be some of that today. There'll be some of that. But I'm focused on the prize, man. I want to see games. Joel Embiid of the Philadelphia 76ers, who is now apparently healthy and ready to go, making Philly, I think, a sleeper team in the Eastern Conference once we get to the playoffs down in the bubble. Would you agree, by the way, that Philly's a sleeper team now that everybody's healthy?
Here's the weird thing about the Sixers. They are pretty much unbeatable at home in Philly.
Right.
They were, I think they when the season got suspended, I think they were something like 26-2 at home. They are horrible on the road. I don't know why. Like, horrible. And this is basically a road game, right? These games
yes.
in Orlando. So until they figure that part of the puzzle out, I'm not sure they are a sleeper. I mean, their road record versus their home record is like night and day, which is the sign of a young team
yeah.
that hasn't figured it out yet. But Embiid and Simmons are great players. They have great talent.
Yeah, I don't know what the odds are on Philly, but I would put
I would put Milwaukee, Toronto, and Boston all ahead of them. In the East.
I am going to ride, because I picked him from the beginning of the year, I'm going to ride with Philly to lose based on they'll ultimately lose to Milwaukee.
Right.
That's how I think
Probably.
It goes for Philly. I think Milwaukee is going to is got a red carpet to the finals. I think they're going to the finals. At Joel Embiid, that's where we started, was addressing the media this week, and this is what he said about COVID and going into the bubble.
I'm not a big fan of the idea, but then again, you know, I'm going to do my job. I'm not going to let the city down. You know, I'm going to go and present my city. That's what I've always done. My family and my teammates. So just got to the mindset doesn't change. I mean, it doesn't matter the fact that don't like that idea, and I still don't believe in it, and I don't think it's going to be safe enough, because I know I'm going to do the right things. I know I don't ever do anything. I only play video games. I'm always home. I don't do anything. But then again, I don't trust those other guys to do the same. So, but like I said, I got to do my job.
Yeah, for a lot of these guys, thank God for video games. They not everybody even goes out anymore. A lot of guys just stay in the room and play games. So Kendrick Perkins, I think this was on the Jump, address. Say one more time.
First take.
Oh, it was on First Take. This is what he said about Joel Embiid.
Look, do you want to hoop or not? I don't hear none of the other contenders complaining. I don't hear LeBron James, Kawhi Leonard complaining. I don't hear Jason Tatum and Giannis complaining. And all they talking about is how they going to try to defend their championship. I don't see them complaining. By the way, they got a tournament that's going on right now, a TBT tournament in Cleveland, Ohio. And I'm pretty sure those guys are not going to be in a billion-dollar bubble, or they not in a great situation. They not complaining. They down there hooping. So I don't want to hear all that. To me, this is just an excuse. To get knocked out, this is going to be an excuse because their superstar was halfway in. His mental wasn't there. Oh, yeah. I'm complaining. I don't know. I don't like the idea. Man, go down there and hoop. I ain't trying to hear that, man. That's a billion-dollar bubble. Check ball like Patrick Beverly say. Check it up.
Completely unfair criticism. I love Kendrick Perkins, but that's completely unfair criticism. You're allowed to be, and we're seeing this throughout sports, you're allowed to be tentative about what's going on. But I mean, we all are at this point.
Right, but what's constructive about saying, I don't really want to play, but I'll do it? What type of message does that send to your teammates, to your fans?
But he's concerned. Is he not concerned about safety? Isn't that what he's going for? Isn't that what he's talking about?
I don't know.
But
that's not what he said.
Yeah, isn't everyone concerned about safety? Like him saying that just is kind of like a bad look, I feel like. How do you think his teammates feel?
But what's the difference between that and what Mike Trout said?
Well, I think Kendrick Perkins' point is, if you feel strongly about it, then do what Avery Bradley's doing. Do what Davis Bertans is doing. Do what Trevor Ariza is doing.
But don't you think a lot of these guys are going to try it out, see how it goes, and if it's not going well, they're going to drop out?
I don't know.
I think guys are going to drop out of the bubble, potentially.
In all sports?
Yeah. I mean, I think basically you're talking about Mike Trout.
I don't think Mike Trout's ever going to go in.
You're talking about multiple teams with multiple tests. Yeah. By the way, I just came across something. This is I'll just throw this out there. So because of the surge in demand for testing, the NBA is using a lab called Quest Diagnostics.
Yeah, I use them.
Okay. So because of the demand for testing right now, the average turnaround on COVID-19 tests is 4 to 6 days, unless you're in a priority one group, which includes hospital patients, preoperative patients in acute care settings, and symptomatic healthcare workers. It's hard to define the NBA or any professional athletes as priority one, along with hospital patients and preoperative patients and healthcare workers.
Right, but Quest is a fairly big lab that services the vast majority of the general public. I was under the impression that a lot of the labs these guys were using were privately contracted, and they were just doing NBA players. So they didn't even need to make a priority list. They were paying more money to get test results quicker. So maybe Quest is an additional test partner, but I think some of these test partners are simply, you know, being contracted by the NBA, and that's why they're getting their results back right away.
Yeah, I wonder what's going on with Major League Baseball and those 3 and 4 day delays.
Yeah, maybe that's part of it. Maybe they couldn't.
We haven't talked to anybody inside the bubble who's had that test yet, have we? No, we haven't.
Yeah, we talked to Chris Haynes last week.
Chris Haynes, yeah, he was inside. He told us about the testing and what went on. Rajon Rondo is upset about his room in Orlando. The Lakers have now landed in Orlando. He's very upset about his room. John, you saw what this looks like. What is?
Yeah,
is
I don't know. I don't know if I would call him very upset. He compared it to a Motel 6.
Well, I would consider that to be somewhat upset.
Well, you know,
he's an NBA player. He's not accustomed to staying in Motel 6.
You know what's interesting about that is that you think that it's an insult. Motel 6 took his Instagram post and said, "Hey, Rajon Rondo, thank you. We'll always leave the light on for you." They loved it.
Oh, of course they did. Of course they did. But doesn't seem pleased with his Orlando room. Now, John, you're looking at that room. Is that much different from what you would see during the regular season?
No. I mean,
it's not. It's certainly not fancy.
Yeah, but I mean, a hotel room's a hotel room. I stay in hotels 100 nights a year.
But think about this. You go out.
True.
You are going to live in this hotel room. This is going to be your home for the next seven, 8 weeks.
Does that picture of that room look that offensive to you?
I mean, to me, I've stayed at Motel 6s. I think they're totally fine hotels.
Yeah, me too.
I'm not expensive. I'm not Four Seasons guy. I've never stayed in a Four Seasons. I've never stayed in one of those super uber fancy hotels. To me, this looks pretty good. When I worked out in the desert a lot, I always stayed at Motel 6s. I think they're totally reasonable, and you can use this as an endorsement, Motel 6. I always thought a very good value for a hotel room. I don't need anything fancy. And for example, John, when you're going around during the regular season, you're going out to dinner and you're leaving your hotel and you're seeing sights and you're going to Broadway shows and all that stuff. You are here. This is where you are going to be. You're not allowed to leave this.
Well, you have to stay on campus. They, for example, they're allowed to golf.
They're allowed to fish. I wonder how many fishermen there are in the NBA.
Well, Rondo, I'm trying to think of where Rondo's from. He went to college at Kentucky. I don't know if that's the part of the world he's from, but I could see Rondo maybe being a fisherman. But they're trying to come up with things for these.
Have you ever fished?
I have. I'm not a fan of it.
Yeah. See,
I
love fishing.
It's kind of boring to me.
We grew up fishing. First day of trout day, first day of trout season was a big deal. We went out for perch on Lake Erie, fished for walleye in the Maumee River. We grew up fishing and loved fishing. So I get that. My brother has never quit. My brother, by the way, who lives down in Fort Lauderdale, is still an avid fisherman. Not a week goes by where I don't get a picture of my brother with some gigantic fish.
No, like a gigantic, he's one of those guys.
I just caught this tarpon. I just caught this sailfish. I just caught this shark.
I couldn't tell you the difference between any of those, by the way.
Yeah, you know a sailfish.
Would not.
Sailfish is the one with the big sail on it. You see it hang in people's offices.
Yeah, would not know. Could not identify a sailfish from a swordfish.
Come on. You would know a sailfish?
Absolutely would not. Guarantee it.
That is no.
No,
you can't
types
be that.
Of fish is nothing I would excel at.
Yeah, we grew up with that, so I don't know if anybody in the NBA is a fisherman or not, but that is also available.
Paul George is a big fisherman.
Oh, he is? Okay, there you go, Paul George. Paul George is going to be out.
So Malika Andrews is on SportsCenter right now, and she's doing her report with a mask on. Is that what it's going to be like for anybody in the bubble? Are they going to, like, when McMenamin goes down there, are his on-air reports going to be with a mask on?
You know, I think probably so. Now, Malika, funny. There's in the bubble, which Malika is. I mean, she's quite literally in the same bubble that the players are. And then there's bubble ADJ, which is where McMenamin's going to be, where I think it's going to be less strict, at least to start. Because Malika's, like, in it, right in the middle of it. I just texted you a picture of a sailfish. You know what a sailfish is.
Okay, but I wouldn't if you said, is this a sailfish? I would just say yes or no.
Yeah.
I mean, see, that looks like a swordfish to me, what you just sent me. Because it's got the long sword for a nose.
God. It's so crazy. By the way, you want to know, I came across another nugget today. Because so far this year, let's see, we've had COVID. We've had Murder Hornet. We've had, what are the other ones we've had? Murder Hornet, packs of rats, packs of hungry rats.
Mm-hmm.
The cicadas.
The cicadas. the swarms of locusts. We've had all these things.
There's reports of a bubonic plague coming out of China now.
No.
Yeah, Google it.
Oh, I saw that yesterday. Good one.
A bubonic plague just kills people.
Yep. That apparently has arrived.
Well, I've got something else that has arrived, which I think will help me and hurt you.
Oh, good. What is it?
I will tell you next. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN. All right, John. So evolutionary biologist Athena Actipus, I think that's the way you say that.
Yeah, nice shot. Actipus, good try at that one.
From Arizona State, says that there is a parasite that could lead to a potential zombie apocalypse in human beings. It is a single-celled parasite called Toxoplasma, and it's actually already infecting Americans, as many as 40 million Americans per year. And studies have found that this parasite actually impacts human behavior. So, in other words, the parasite will make you want to eat another person.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Wow.
So, I've asked this before. I'll ask it again. John, how long would you last in an actual real-life zombie apocalypse?
Well, I'm not into zombies. I don't even know, like, what they do or how they work. So, my guess is...
You don't know how zombies work? Wait a minute.
Yeah, I've never seen The Walking Dead. I've never seen any...
zombie movie. You're just unfamiliar with the concept of a
never
zombie.
Never seen Zombieland.
Know where they come from?
I've seen American Werewolf in London. Those guys are zombies, right?
Like, do you know how one becomes a zombie?
No, you got to die, right?
You get bit by one.
Yeah. I would last 5 minutes because I have no idea what I'm supposed to be scared of or what I'm looking for.
Yeah, what you're looking for is somebody coming at you with a half-degraded face saying, food.
Yeah,
that's what you've got to look for.
Bring them on.
You would have no chance.
Yeah,
you would have no chance.
I wouldn't even know what I was supposed to be scared of. How do you kill one?
It's through the head, right?
I thought it's through the head or the heart, and it has to be like real silver, right?
That's you're mixing up werewolves.
I thought it was a bullet through the head.
Yeah, it's a bullet through the head. That's the way they do it on.
Or you can burn them too,
dead.
Right? You can burn them, right?
You can burn them also. Yeah, an axe to the head, a bullet to the head. That's how you kill a zombie. Just that's a public service announcement for today. Bullet through the head, axe through the head. That's how you kill a zombie. I would be a long survivor. I would learn to live with them and work around them.
Yeah, I don't think anyone believes that.
What do you mean? Who among us owns a gun?
Yeah, but you wouldn't know what to do. Like, what if some giant guy, what if Marcellus turned into a zombie and came after you?
Bang.
Yeah, he would devour you.
You know, according to
you like a snack.
I think there's 15 ways to kill a zombie.
Oh, there are. Okay, what are the other ways?
At least 10 for sure. But let's see. Firearms, sporting goods.
Okay, so like a bow and arrow kind of thing.
Javelin,
baseball bat.
Baseball bat. Yep. Whack them in the head.
Stab them with gardening tools. You can run them over with a lawnmower.
Yep.
They could be hit by a train. They could explode with a bomb. They could be part of a gas explosion. It's kind of weird.
This is the Wikipedia page for how to kill a zombie?
Yeah, it's one of these monster versions of Wikipedia, like the Monsterpedia. Similar to the Wookiepedia that you get if you're a Star Wars fan.
Yeah. Wow. So zombie apocalypse now possible. And by the way, I just put out a poll. Who lasts longest in a zombie apocalypse, Mason, Ireland, Lindsay, or Funch? Lindsay is leading the poll right now. I'm not sure why.
By the way, how did the Eyes Wide Shut poll finish?
Oh, Eyes Wide Shut poll.
Dramatically in your favor, John.
Okay, because yesterday we argued. I sat through earlier in the week Eyes Wide Shut. It was the biggest piece of crap ever. And then Mason came out and said, what are you talking about? It's a classic. It's fantastic. So we put out a poll. If you had to pick, is it fantastic or is it a disaster?
A classic or a disaster? 29% say a classic, 71% say a disaster.
That's a resounding victory for me. That movie sucks.
Yeah, that is a great movie. That is gets more and more interesting
of
with time.
People disagree with you.
Yeah,
how many respondents? All
right. I'm not worried about popular opinion. I don't care about popular opinion. I have my own opinion.
How many respondents?
1,108.
Oh, that's good. That's a good sample size.
Yeah, that's a reasonable sample size. Yeah. Somebody says Funch would last the longest in a zombie apocalypse. I mean, he's been in the studio this entire time. That's true.
It's a very fair point.
It's like an apocalypse
around here.
It does. It must seem like one.
Yeah, I'm alone. I feel like I'm Will Smith and I Am Legend.
Oh, that's a great movie. That's a great zombie movie. Or no? Were those zombies? Yeah, they were zombies.
They were like zombies, right?
Yeah, they were zombies. Yeah. So we've talked a little bit about this. DeSean Jackson and his anti-Semitic comments the other day, and the fact that Julian Edelman has come out and invited him to the Holocaust Museum in Washington, D.C. John, you've talked about, and Stephen Jackson did the same thing, sort of doubled down on what DeSean Jackson said.
Right.
In terms of the anti-Semitic rhetoric. You are not a believer in cancel culture, what we call cancel culture.
Right, but I think there has to be consequences to anybody's actions. For example, I think DeSean Jackson should take up Julian Edelman and go to that museum. I think that he should follow the example set by Michael Vick. I thought Michael Vick paid a legitimate price, and then he was allowed to come back. I'm not so sure if I ran the Eagles, and by the way, the owner of the Eagles, Jeff Lurie, is Jewish, so is Howie Roseman, their GM. I'm not sure I'd want him around. Now, I'm very hesitant to cancel people. I don't like to see people get fired or canceled. But let's see how DeSean Jackson reacts to all this. If he, you know, he's apologized twice, he's met with a rabbi. Stephen Jackson, who's not related to DeSean, has kind of backed him up. I just think those guys don't get it, and they need to be educated. So let's see how they respond. But I don't know. Do you think the Eagles keep him?
You know, it's so weird that this would come out today, because this is the front page of ESPN. Jeffrey Lurie, the owner of the Philadelphia Eagles, his documentary film company has announced the completion of its inaugural project, which has been in the works for 3 years. It's called The Meaning of Hitler.
No kidding.
Lurie is an executive producer. Threat of white supremacy is a topic that has been important to him for some time, and this is an example of his commitment to addressing social issues. And of course, the announcement comes as DeSean Jackson has received widespread condemnation for his social media posts, including an anti-Semitic message that he attributed to Hitler. So talk about not being in alignment with your boss.
Or bosses in this case.
Bosses. I mean, what are the odds that DeSean Jackson says this week at the same time the owner of the team announces a documentary called The Meaning of Hitler?
Well, and think about this. The NFL canceled Colin Kaepernick because he protested something that now most people feel he was completely in the right about. I don't know who can line up behind DeSean Jackson. Apparently, Stephen Jackson and no one else. But I think that it'll be interesting to see what the reaction is from here. I think DeSean has taken some... I've met him, by the way.
Yeah.
He's from Long Beach Poly. He seems like a decent guy. Hopefully, he's learned from it. But I don't know if you get away with this. This is... this is probably a line you can't cross and expect to still keep your job. I know if you or I were said it, we'd be fired immediately. But we can't catch 100 passes a year.
Yeah, but I mean, regardless, I mean, this stuff is pure anti-Semitic, dripping with evil. The stuff that he said.
Right. So why do you think players have not spoken out against him like they did in the Drew Brees thing?
I think it comes down to the fact. Let's talk about that next.
Okay.
Let's talk about that next.
Because I don't think you necessarily need to be Jewish to condemn it.
No, definitely don't. Yeah. Let's get into that next. By the way, Let's. We haven't done this this entire week, but let's open the phones.
Yes,
We have yet to take a single phone call this entire week.
Let's do it next.
877-710-ESPN. 877-710-ESPN. Top of the hour, we got the scoop, all the stories that we haven't talked about yet. 4:45 is Radio Tinder. 5:45 is Game of Games. Big day. Thanks a lot for being out there. Thanks a lot for being with us. We're getting close to sports. Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN. So I think the question was, why didn't more NFL players come out and condemn the comments, the anti-Semitic comments?
Or any NFL players.
Of DeSean Jackson. Julian Edelman, obviously, is the one player that has come forward. He happens to be Jewish. I think that's, in the end, that's the reason why. I think if there were more Jewish players, I think more guys would have spoken up. That's not to say that you can't tell the difference between right and wrong, but DeSean Jackson's comments were part of a larger sort of social justice conversation, and I think African-American players didn't want to step up and be critical of that part of it. I think that guys are learning a lesson here because anti-Semitism is a real issue in our country and in our culture. And there are a lot of these anti-Semitic tropes, and DeSean Jackson isn't the first one to do this. There have been some really prominent people who I'm not going to name, some really prominent people who've put stuff out there that happens to be anti-Semitic, and they had no idea that it was anti-Semitic. But I think if there were more Jewish players, there would be more players speaking up. Not that you shouldn't be able to tell the difference between right and wrong.
Yeah, well, the problem I have with that is, and I don't necessarily think you're wrong, but the reason why it's kind of, you know, chicken bleep of the players not to step up is that all throughout the Black Lives Matter movement, what people have correctly said is this isn't a black problem, it's a white problem. It's a problem with white people recognizing and acknowledging that Black Lives Matter and that we as white people need to make a difference. It's the anti-Semitism isn't coming from Jewish people. It's coming from non-Jewish people.
Well, of course.
And so I would think that other players, I mean, like of all people, our friend Matthew Berry,
yeah,
came out and tweeted yesterday or the day before. Hate is hate. Either you're against it or you're not.
Yeah, no, it's completely true. It's completely true. Yeah, and anti-Semitism is real. I mean, there is a lot of anti-Semitic hate crime in our country today. And this is an old trope that DeSean Jackson stumbled into. By the way, start going through the internet. And you, if you allow that to be your only source of information, you wind up going down rabbit holes. You're going to find stuff that should stay in those holes. This was one that should have stayed in that hole.
Hey, real quick, let me give out the phone number in case people want to participate here. 877-710-3776. 877-710-3776. 3776, which is also 877-710-ESPN. So we'll take calls this hour if you want to chime in on this, but go ahead.
But can I make a plea to Lindsay?
Sure.
Lindsay?
Yes. Listening.
Okay. Stop sending me these calendar invites.
I did stop sending them to you, and then you told me to start sending them to you again.
I never use calendar invites. You send me a calendar invite every time we book a guest. It's like, I'm not putting that in my iCal. Andrew Friedman's coming on tomorrow at 3:30. I don't need to put that on my calendar.
First of all, he's coming on at 3:45.
And oh, he is. Okay.
Yeah.
And John knows that because he looked at the calendar. And
I'll know it tomorrow when we talk about what we're doing on the show.
Well, you're also going to know it when you ask me what do we have for tomorrow when you want to do the lookie. You will already know that.
Yes.
Wow. You want to hear something amazing?
Yep.
Your poll, who lasts longer in a zombie apocalypse?
Yep.
Lindsay, number one. Ireland, two.
Oh, for God's sake.
Funches 3 and Mason 4.
People just like goofing on me. I'm so tired of people just
about?
Goofing
it's your
on
poll.
Me.
It's your
people
people
just want to get my goat. They want to get my goat. They want to tee me up. Tee me off.
It's your audience. It's your followers.
Yeah, I'm telling you, who would survive a zombie apocalypse? I would be here 10 years after it starts.
You can't even win a hot dog eating contest. How are you going to survive?
Wait a minute. I think I did win.
I'm just kidding. Well, I don't know. You did admit yesterday. I'm pretty sure you admitted to Sliwa that he won.
Oh,
that
just was to a, get the
that
rematch.
Yeah, that was a political move.
And you still did it, though.
Yeah, but I would have done the same thing. It's like who was that president that said he would never raise taxes and then made a tax compromise? You had to get Sliwa to move off of his position. I think you handled that well. Here's Flint in Inglewood, wants to talk about this DeSean Jackson thing. Hey, Flint, you're on 710 ESPN. Hi.
Hey, Steve and John, I think you guys are taking this the wrong way.
Tell us how.
Because Steven Jackson was not agreeing with the negative thing that DeSean Jackson said about Jews. What he was actually saying is that the way that they're treating him is different from the way they treated Riley Cooper.
Right, but I think that when Steven Jackson lost the audience, Flint, was when he said, I think that DeSean Jackson has a point. DeSean Jackson doesn't have a point. DeSean Jackson tried to use hate to pile on top of hate.
Yeah, you start by disavowing that. I see what you're saying. He's agreeing with some and not agreeing with all.
Exactly.
Whether that's true or not, you start out by disavowing the anti-Semitic comments.
Matter of fact, like there's been people over the years, Flint, that'll make the argument, you know, Hitler did some good things.
Oh.
The minute you start with that, then you're lost. Then people say, well, wait a minute, there's no good he could have done that would have outweighed the evil he brought into the world.
No good.
And so that's, once you align yourself, once Steven Jackson said, hey, I think DeSean Jackson's making a good point. He's not.
But he was making a good point regarding the treatment that he was getting regarding the Riley Cooper thing.
If you want to, now, here's the other thing. They let Riley Cooper stay on the team. Would you have done that, Flint? Would you have let Riley Cooper stay on the team?
No.
Yeah, either would I. So, I mean,
do you think they should allow DeSean Jackson to stay on the team?
Two wrongs don't make a right. The reason, if you want to leave DeSean Jackson on the team, if you feel like he's apologized, that he now has a better understanding, you think DeSean's a good guy, those are all reasons you leave him on the team. You don't leave him on the team, Flint, because you left Riley Cooper on the team. You and I have already agreed that that was a mistake.
Right, but you set a precedent, though.
Right.
Yeah, you set a precedent. You set a bad precedent with Riley Cooper, but it is a precedent all the same. So I do understand that. I don't think he will be cut. I think this was out of a cultural blind spot and out of ignorance. Don't think he fully understood what he was saying. I would not cut him. I would treat him the same in this case as Riley Cooper, and I would not cut him and give him a chance to make the team and to play. But you're right. The Riley Cooper thing does set a precedent.
Thanks, Flint, for the phone call. Here's Art in Whittier. Hey, Art, you're on 710 ESPN. Hi.
Hey, what's going on, guys? You know what? Okay, the way I look at it is this. The reason I think, this is my own personal opinion.
Okay.
That maybe a lot of other people in the NFL, you know, haven't come out against it, you know, is because, I don't know, I was trying to explain to Bunches earlier, but hopefully you guys can understand what I'm trying to say.
Okay. Go ahead.
When the four officers got acquitted from Rodney King, right?
Yes.
Okay. Then a couple of years later, O.J. Simpson, he got acquitted because even though everybody knew he was guilty, just like the cops were guilty. Okay. To me, it was almost like, okay, well, we're going to do you one better. Now, this, the way I'm looking at it, is like a lot of them aren't coming out and saying anything. Is it because not only did they want to back up their own guy and like not go against him, even though they may not agree with him, but it's almost like, okay, you know, we've been going through this so many times, so now somebody else is going through it, and we're not going to say anything about it because, you know, see what we're going through. In other words, you know, now you know what we're going through. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I don't know. Again, it's not just because it's a precedent doesn't mean that you need to follow it. The precedent can be bad. OJ should not have been acquitted just because black people had been treated poorly in L.A. It had nothing to do with the fact that OJ more than likely killed those two people. I mean, one doesn't necessarily kill the other. Well, I mean, he was found what was he found not guilty or?
But more likely than to not have.
Yeah. So it to me, just because, I mean, both things can be true. And that's, by the way, OJ Made in America made that point, that the reason that case broke along racial lines was that black people in Los Angeles had been treated a certain way for so many years that they actually believed Mark Furman set OJ up. They believed it, despite the fact that OJ's blood was in Ron Goldman's blood, which showed up at the house.
Yeah, but that jury, I've always said that jury was just sending a message. The evidence was right. Not important. The jury was going to send that message no matter what.
Right.
That so African-Americans were brutalized in the streets for so long in Los Angeles that they felt like this was their opportunity to get back at the system. And that's why they acquitted O.J. Simpson.
Right. But Art's point was that they've been, you know, they've been treated so bad for so long that they don't want to speak out against it because they think it's about time that it comes around the other way. I don't necessarily think that.
Well, they should read the chapter about how Jews have been treated so badly for so long.
Well, and that was Edelman's point.
Hundreds of years.
Well, that was
thousands of years.
That was Julian Edelman's point today.
Yeah.
He's like, hey, I think there's a part of this you don't understand, Deshaun, and I hope you'll come with me and I can show it to you. And if I do show it to you, I think you'll have a better understanding. I hope Deshaun Jackson takes him up on it. I think it would
me too.
I think it would be the equivalent of Michael Vick going to work with the
Humane Society, which
right,
he did.
Right. I think that's how Deshaun Jackson can turn this into a positive.
Yeah, I mean, that's why the Humane Society is cool with Michael Vick now, is that Michael Vick, when he got out of prison, decided that he would team up with the Humane Society to go to inner city neighborhoods to talk about the evils of dogfighting. And he did do that and continues to do that. So, you know, I understand that with Vic. I don't think this is a I don't think you get rid of this guy based on these comments.
I don't know if they will. I don't know.
He's apologized. I hope he takes up Edelman on going to the Holocaust Museum in Washington, D.C. That would be smart on his part. And frankly, the guy clearly needs education in this area on this subject. All right, coming up next for you is The Scoop. All the stories today that we haven't talked about yet. Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN.